glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, March 7th, 2024. I'm your friend Donna Leland and your host on Thursdays. Today, I'm going to say it's a career highlight of mine to be able to interview Doreen Virtue. Maybe you're not familiar with her name because you have not been hanging around in the New Age community, but she was one of the number one best-selling authors in the New Age. Thank you so much, Doreen, for spending time with us here on Mark and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Doreen, I have been following your story since 2017, when you first came to know the Lord, and in all that's happened, you've been so open about it and so just very, you know, upfront about your life. So for those who know nothing about Doreen Virtue, let's launch in to your early years and the BC of your life.
Okay, thank you. Again, I appreciate this opportunity to glorify God because in the past, I was one of the top-selling New Age authors, and I'm not boasting. I'm actually grieved about it now. And I used to tour in Illinois quite a bit, so this is a redeeming moment for me to come to Illinois through your program, Donna, and talk about this. But yeah, the childhood really had a bearing on this. We had no spiritual covering in my house. My dad was raised Presbyterian. He was solid, but he handed over the upbringing, including the spiritual upbringing of my brother and myself, to my mother, who was a third generation Christian Scientist. And so for those who are not familiar with that religion, it's not Christian at all, even though it can appear to be, because we were reading the Bible every day. We were going to church twice a week. It's a religion that's blasphemous, has a false Christ, and believes that the only reason Jesus came to earth was to teach us how to do physical healings. And so my mother was very involved with, she was a professional Christian Science practitioner, and we were not allowed to go to doctors or take health classes. We were completely using Christian Science for everything. And so without that spiritual covering, I had a lot of spiritual warfare my whole life, as I look back, just demonic things happening, poltergeists and seeing people that really weren't there, just really frightening childhood. What kids would call invisible friends, they were just part of my life. And nobody could tell me what was going on, because even though we read the Bible every single day, we didn't read Ephesians 6. We didn't. The Christian Science religion skips over Genesis 3 and denies that there's any evil in this world or that man's fallen. It's all basically lands on Genesis 1:25-26, where God, you know, let us make man in our image. In our image, let us make man. And so Christian Science takes that and runs with it and says, well, God's sinless. God doesn't have illness or disease, so therefore we don't either. And they think if you have any problems, it's because you're denying your godliness, which is so, it's so twisted. And they believe that God's will is always for you to be healthy. And if you're not healthy, it's your fault. So that was a lot of pressure. You're not allowed to have any negative thoughts in that kind of environment. And you're not allowed to complain or talk about problems. It's all positive, just fake positive. And so no wonder I grew up and got into the New Age, which is identical. It's this neo-Gnosticism that came from the same background, Satan, through a man named Phineas Quimby, who also was part of the Word of Faith, hyper, you know, Word of Faith, where you're taught you can name it and claim it. It's all that same background.
Make that connection for us, Doreen. I think this is so interesting because Christian Science is the same as the New Thought, New Age, and then also this whole, you know, name it, claim it, like you said, blab it, grab it, that's going on right now in our churches. Make the connection. What are the similarities once again?
Okay, well, there was a hypnotherapist in the late 1800s named Phineas Quimby, who considered himself to be a Christian, and he knew the Bible, but he misread it, he twisted it. And he held seminars that that a lot of his teachings went to become the Church of Religious Science, the Church of Unity Church, which isn't a church, Christian Science. And then somehow the early fathers of the, today we see the Name It and Claim It movement, also were influenced by Phineas Quimby. And so it all came down the pipeline that you can use your thoughts to create your reality and that your words create. And it just denies what, you know, Genesis talks about, that it's God's word. It's God speaking everything into existence. And even the end of Job was really revolutionary to me the first time I read it, when God is saying to Job, and I'm paraphrasing, God's saying, "Where were you when I hung the stars in the sky? Where were you when I filled the ocean?" And as I was reading that, I thought, oh, yeah, I can't create planets and stars in the ocean. And that was the necessary humbling I went through. And so the whole movement I came out of denies that and says, oh, no, you can create everything. And in fact, all reality that you're experiencing is from an outpicturing of your own thoughts. So it's very, very prideful.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing is very anxiety producing, because then if bad things are coming my way, guess who's responsible? Me, for all the negativity, because I'm doing that whole drawing the negativity to myself. And another connection that we can make while we're here is the, what is the Bible for the New Age? The something?
A Course in Miracles.
Course in Miracles. And also The Secret as well is a part of this.
Yes.
It's this attraction, law of attraction. My thoughts attract what I want. You know, and again, that's the whole lie. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. So you just spend your entire day trying not to attract the bad. And just, so that's, how do you live like that?
Well, and the irony is that you're afraid of negative thoughts, and that fear in itself is negative.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to even acknowledge that. So it's not logical at all. Mm-hmm. And if someone were to sit there and think about it, they would realize that. It was hard because you couldn't have any depth in your relationships. You know, you couldn't talk about your problems with anybody because that was considered negative.
Yeah.
Instead, you would just run from your problems constantly and dissociate. And so no relationship with God, obviously, because there's no understanding of who God is as our creator when you think you're the creator.
So there you are at the height of your career, making money and being very, very successful, espousing the entire New Age, New Thought kind of line. And then God intervened.
And then God,
And how did he draw you to himself?
Well, that's what's interesting. My mother, since we appeared to be Christian, my mother had told my brother and I, "You're Christian." And so my whole life I said, "I'm Christian." And as a New Age teacher, which I was doing for over 20 years, I would talk about Jesus. I would use Bible verses. You know, I would even do a prayer at the beginning of my workshops to God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. I would add in Archangel Michael, because I was influenced by some mysticism that involved archangels, which was blasphemous. I regret that and repent from it. So I sounded Christian in a way for those who didn't know the Bible. And I, even though I'd read the Bible my whole life, I didn't know it. I hadn't read the whole Bible. And I just want to say that we were King James Version onlyists, and God used a more modern translation to help me, to open my eyes. I still read the King James. I still love it. But I think there's a need also for other translations that are more accessible. And I really think that was part of the problem growing up, to have read as much as I did and not understand it. Yes. And of course, 2 Corinthians talks about the God of this world puts a veil over your eyes. And the gospel was foolishness to me because I was perishing. So I understand that it was a lot of spiritual warfare. But as you mentioned, because I really saw myself as a Christian, I had always listened to Christian radio my whole life. When Chuck Smith was alive, I listened to him daily on Calvary Chapel Radio. And then later I started listening to Alistair Begg on Christian Satellite Network. And And my heart was stony because I wasn't saved. And so I'd hear the gospel and I would sit there and think, well, maybe that's true for you. You're a sinner, but I'm not a sinner because look, it says in the Bible, I'm made in God's image and likeness. He's not a sinner. So I would, that part of the gospel eluded me.
Mm.
And that's what I needed, was to know that I had sinned against our holy God and that I had offended him. And I needed Jesus as my savior. I didn't get that.
Mm.
But this one day, this was January 15th, 2015, as I was listening to Alistair Begg, and he was exegeting 2 Timothy 4 about how in the end times, people will want their itching ears tickled by false teachers. And Donaghy described a false teacher. It was like he was describing me.
Wow.
It was spooky.
Mm.
Because I was giving people false hope in the New Age. I was saying, you know, the worst is behind you. Just focus on the light and everything's going to be okay. And that's not true. Sometimes God leads us through trials very often to draw us closer to him. And so I had no business telling people that the worst is behind you. So I stopped that day after I heard Alistair Begg say that, but I still wasn't saved. But what it did was it was the first time that I remember my heart being convicted by the Holy Spirit in my whole life. And I said to my husband, I think we need to start going to a regular church, because we'd been going to these new thought churches. And I said, and I want to start reading the whole Bible, and which I had tried to do many times in my life, you know, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I hadn't done that yet. And that's so important to see the big arc of God's plan of redemption. So we started going to church and we started reading the Bible together. And when I got to Deuteronomy 18, and that was 2 years later in September 2017, when I got there and I read a whole list of things I was doing in the New Age, fortune telling, interpreting omens and signs, mediumship I had been involved in. And it said that anyone who does those things is a detestable abomination to God. And Donna, you could have knocked me over. I mean, I actually did get off my chair and got on my knees because I couldn't believe, because people told me my New Age work helped them and comforted them. People told me all the time I was a gift from God, I was an angel, blah, blah, blah. And so I really thought God had been pleased with my New Age work because it seemed to make people happy and comforted. But when I read that the tools I was using actually did the opposite, it made me, not just the tools, but me, because I was using them, a detestable abomination to God. I was broken, and I needed to be broken. I had been really narcissistic in the New Age, thinking that all my thoughts came from God, and all, you know, I was channeling, and just so narcissistic, so prideful. And so to realize that the opposite had happened was just, I needed that. That's when I just cried out to God, and I said, I obviously don't know what I'm doing. I'm so sorry. I apologized. I said, please don't send the people that I've passed this deception along to hell. You know, please, Lord, please, please. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need him to take over my life, because obviously I've messed up my life and I've messed up other people's lives with my teachings. And that was September 2017. I walked away from the New Age. I got fired from my New Age publisher, who had been flying me all around the world. I'd been on Oprah twice. I'd been on CNN, The View, all the liberal programs. And I myself was a real left-wing liberal. I was always pro-life my whole life, but I was extremely liberal in my politics.
Mm.
And it was really interesting how he gave me a new heart and a new life. And I went to seminary and got a master's degree in biblical and theological studies just so I could learn to read the Bible correctly. After I was saved at age 59. I'm now turning 66 in a couple months. And so to read the Bible wrong your whole life, I said, I've got to go to seminary and I've got to learn how to rightly divide God's word. Mm-hmm. So I did that and ended up graduating with highest honors,
wow,
which is all glory to God, because if I'd gone to seminary before I was saved, I would have flunked out.
It
just, like, the Bible just came alive to me. I read it every single day. I listen to it on audio. I mean, it's just, all I want to do is just read the Bible and proclaim his word and the gospel to people.
That's so beautiful. Now, before you came to know Christ, you were living the life. We're talking a beautiful resort area. Animals were a part of your world. You had just everything going. And you remind me of, in the book of Acts, whenever they left witchcraft and all of that, they burnt their scrolls. And
yes,
that involved
yes.
quite a large amount of money. And so let's talk about the aftermath.
Yeah, yeah. The book of Acts, Acts 19:19, where they burned, I think it was 50,000 drachma, which would be about $4 million today
wow.
in sorcery materials. And so I do relate to that so much, Donna, because my whole career had been built on the New Age. And my sons, I regret this so much, I'd raised them New Age and they were working for me. I had taught all these people how to do what I was doing. And the money was coming in, huge amounts of money, but we were spending more than we were making on these animals because we kept rescuing. I think we had 300 animals by the end of this and not charging anything. We were just putting them on our ranch. And so the food bill and the vet bill was just, and then just lifestyle, the rich and famous, was way more than we were making. When I was first saved, I was convicted to at least try to refund as many people as I could. So my husband and I gave as many people who asked for refunds for the first 2 years that we could afford. And at the same time, I was caring for my elderly parents who were living with us. So we needed to move. We had been buying this ranch from the owners, and so we gave it back to them, and we moved to a more affordable area, but we still needed a house big enough for my parents to be in. And while this was all going on, and it was like moving to another planet, becoming a Christian at 59 years old.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole different set of words you use. And, you know, you dress different. All my friends, it seemed like from the New Age, they stopped talking to me. Some family members stopped talking to me. My youngest son still won't talk to me. Everyone was just, and my father, he was so confused. He's like, how come we don't have money anymore? And I was like, well, Dad, because I'm following Jesus. He never really got that. You know, he just didn't. It was, I tried to tell him it was ill-begotten funds. That wasn't our money. That was the devil's money. Yeah, it's the attacks from New Agers who didn't understand, and even still to this day, they don't attack me so much, but they make up stories about why I changed.
Yeah.
And the stories are hilarious, some of them. They say I went through government mind control, that I was going through menopause, but I was 59. They said my husband made me do this. There's a theory I got caught, and that's why. And then when you say caught with what?
Yeah,
they can't answer. Then some people said, well, she must be a Christian now because she wants to make more money. And I was like, well, I don't ask for money. I don't ask for donations. If people donate, I give it to a charity of their choice in their name. You know, I mean, I don't. And so people can't figure out why I would leave at the peak of my career. That's God's genius.
Yeah.
You know, if I had been going down in my career, people could say, well, she's trying to be more relevant. But I was listed as one of the top New Age teachers in New Age magazines worldwide.
Yeah.
And I was touring with all the New Age celebrities, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, you know, all the famous New Agers. We were friends and we'd go around the world first class. You know, we'd stay in the penthouse suites at Four Seasons, limousines, total high life. But you know what, Donna? All that time, I was feeling empty and not fulfilled and not peaceful because there was no Jesus.
Mm-mm.
I thought I was following Jesus, but it was the false Jesus I was following.
Amazing. And I heard you on another broadcast where you said, yeah, there was a little bit of peace, but it would just be that 5 minutes after you did yoga and then it was gone. And then you'd be chasing it the rest of the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was always chasing after something. Chasing after peace, happiness, and I seemed to have it all from the world standards because I had this successful career, sold out audiences, standing ovations, you know, going on all the talk shows. Celebrities were coming to my house right and left, and And I seem to have good friends. A few of them are still left, but a lot of them left. And, you know, I had this beautiful ranch on the mountains of Hawaii and beautiful animals. I do miss some of my horses, I have to say. I had some gypsy vanner horses, for anyone who knows horses, the gypsy vanners. They were so sweet and beautiful. But we had to get out of the new age. So we threw away, because you couldn't burn them there in Hawaii. It was too flammable. But so we just got we rented one of those big gypsy dumpsters and just threw everything away. And then even after we moved, we kept finding stuff from the new age. And I threw away all the original artwork, thousands of dollars of the artwork, jewelry, clothing. I didn't want to pass it along to anyone else, so I didn't sell it. I just threw it away.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Doreen Virtue, if you just tuned in, and we're just celebrating all that the Lord has done in Doreen's life. He picked her up from miry clay and set her feet on a solid rock. And now God is using her to draw others to himself, out, drawing them out of a new age movement, drawing them out of deception. Now, Doreen, if someone were to want to contact you and get more information on you, what would that look like?
They can go to my Instagram page, instagram.com/DoreenVirtue, and send me a direct message. Just a little caveat. It's only me reading and replying, and I'm slow.
That's okay.
because when I do talk to a person, I take my time with them. Mm-hmm. So if you don't hear from me, write me another message and Instagram will pop that to the top.
Great. And then also you have a YouTube?
Yes, two different YouTubes. We just started a new podcast called New Age to New Heart with some friends of mine who were also saved out of the New Age. And so on that YouTube page, you can actually ask us questions. So New Age to New Heart would be the way you could also get a hold of me. And then my YouTube page is called Doreen Virtue for Jesus.
We're visiting with Doreen Virtue on Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And if you maybe joined us halfway through, don't forget, it always sits on our website in an MP3 format if you'd like to share it with someone else. Thanks again for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Coming up tomorrow, Pastor Jason Schiffo, as always, faithfully delivers the Word of God in a Bible study environment. So you can join. It's coming up on Mark and Friends. That's tomorrow. Thanks for listening.